This year, American rock band Sleater-Kinney will have been playing together for 30 years. During that time, they've been crowned by some critics as America's best rock band. And they've become as well known for their feminist politics as their music. The band, now comprised of Corin Tucker and Carrie Brownstein, has been through several iterations and includes an 8-year hiatus between 2006 and 2014 when they were pursuing other creative enterprises. Their 11th studio album, Little Rope, was released at the start of the year. And next Wednesday, the duo will perform at the Auckland Power Station. Here they are with Say It Like You Mean It from their latest album. Sleater-Kinney and Corin Tucker, one of the duo, is with us now from Portland, Oregon. Thanks so much for being with us. Great to have you here, Corin.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, wonderful to be here.
I want to talk more about the context of that latest album in a moment, but just for those who are lucky enough to be going on May 15th, your first gig in Aotearoa in 8 years, 3 albums since then. What can people expect? Mainly new material, or will some of the old bangers be there, the classics there as well, Corin?
Oh, yes. Just also to update everyone, the show has been moved to the Tuning Fork. So change of venue there, but we're super, super excited to play New Zealand again. As you mentioned, it's been a minute. But we will be doing the new album, but also definitely what we consider the Sleater-Kinney bangers will be in there. We've been really enjoying playing our whole catalog this year when we've been going out. It's been great so far, so we're looking forward to it.
Thanks for the update on the location. We'll make sure it's on all our content there. Look, the new album, and I know you've probably been asked to speak about this time and again, but it's hard not to, and the influences upon it. Just tell us a little more of the story behind the music there, and the influences upon the album, Corinne. It's pretty hard to talk about, I imagine, still, but significant, yeah?
So, this record is something that it gets pretty personal. It's a pretty emotional album. We were, writing and recording and working on the songs, which, kind of delve into the state of the world right now. And during the process of making the album, tragically, my writing partner, Carrie Brownstein, her mother and stepfather were killed in a car accident in Italy. It was quite a shock. And, at the time, I didn't know if Carrie wanted to keep writing. Of course, it's just said, let's take a break, but she just needed to keep writing the music and just keep going as kind of a pathway forward for her. And so that's what we did. We just kept writing the music. And, I think the heaviness of that experience kind of informs the music. But I have to say, it didn't turn it into a truly dark record. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of outreach. There's a lot of emotion in the album. And so it just kind of turned the volume up, I guess, on the songs, but also on the emotions that we were going through.
It's interesting, isn't it? We talk about, the political is personal, the personal is political. And that is true of songwriting and certainly true of your songwriting. But in this instance, clearly the personal experience and the intensity of writing when you're both carrying grief, you for your friend and your co-writer, clearly the personal must have made this a particularly intensive album to produce.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there were definitely some moments in the studio that were just too hard to get through. There were a lot of tears. But, I think that there was just a real healing power with the music and an honesty there. And that I have to say, this is an album that we've gotten more response from other people saying, listen, I've been going through this in my life and your album helped me. And I really, thank you for opening up and talking about these things because we've all been through something in the past, several years that's been tough. And by just kind of opening that door and talking about our feelings and what we've been through, that is the shared experience that I think is really rewarding when we play the live show.
30 years is a huge achievement together as a band, as a two key players in the band. And it occurs to me you've just touched on it. It's also in many ways it's a life, and it's lives evolving and life experiences happening, and the world changing or not changing. And has that evolution been obvious to the pair of you over the 30 years, or in some ways is there a I guess an underlying kind of force or energy that stayed quite consistent. What's been the experience of the longevity of your creativity together?
I have to say that we just at this point come at it with a feeling of gratitude, that we're here and that we're making music. And when we just did this last tour, It is different now. People reach music in different ways, and young people are showing up. They're streaming our music. They're catching up on the past 30 years and coming to the show knowing all the whole catalog. I mean, it's mind-blowing. And we're just, experiencing kind of a full circle where we are, feeling like a renewed energy from young people that are listening to what we have to say and having their own spin on it.
What were your own earliest musical and creative influences for you personally, Corinne?
I have to say, the indie rock in America was really big for me when college rock, when I listened to the radio, when I was growing up. So, bands like The Pixies, PJ Harvey, Nirvana, Sonic Youth, REM, those kind of bands that are just had like their own thing going on, their own particular, way of saying things. That was like a big influence on me on how I thought, artists that really had something to say were inspiring to me.
It was a rich vein, certainly, to tap into. It was a rich time. And what brought the two of you together back in 1994?
Well, we were friends and our bands had played together. We were both in different bands at the time, but I just thought Carrie was such a great guitarist. She's such a great lead player. That I said, oh, I wonder what would it sound like if we played together, because I'm such a rhythm guitar player, I'm a really different strummer than she is. And I kind of was curious what those two sounds would be like together. And, we just started playing for fun, but it did have a chemistry kind of right away. It's two different things, coming together and creating melodies that kind of had this disjointed and jointed effect kind of all at once.
The word alchemy popped into my head just as you said it. Sometimes you can't design it, right? It's there or it's not there with a co-creator and with a fellow performer.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it just, I think even from the earliest songs, we knew that we had something kind of special. And, and we worked on things and just evolved over the years. I mean, for the first, I want to say first two records, Carrie didn't sing that much, and then she became much more of a contributor and songwriter and singer and front person as the years went on, and then eventually went on to become a comedian and a television star with Portlandia. So we've been on quite a journey.
I want to come back to that era. There was this wonderful hiatus, and you certainly weren't off playing golf, the pair of you, or anything like that. And I'm just curious as to where that sort of sits in the coming back together again in time. But let's stay with the creative dynamic for a moment. How does the creation happen between you? And does that sometimes change at various times? How do you work together to create the content?
Yeah, I mean, I think we at this point we have like a variety of ways that we start a song. Sometimes it will be sitting in a room together, just playing guitar. I mean, that's how we started, right? We just sat around playing guitar. What about this? You sing, try this, just kind of shouting out ideas. But now that technology has changed and we can go to our computer and write a demo and say, like, listen, I've got this idea. What if you had something here? But really, for a Sleater-Kinney song, it's not done until both of us have really gotten in there and added our part to it and contributed. And both of us have kind of, gone over the song with a fine-tooth comb and really made it a Sleater-Kinney song. So we come at it with a variety of different ways at this point.
I think about 4 years ago, your long-term bandmate, Janet Weiss, left the band. And is that a key moment for any long-standing band? When a key member goes, do you either say, do we keep going with this now? What are we now? Or was it fairly clear-cut? Was it just the way, where the dynamics, I get, had got to as a creative team?
Of course, it was a pivotal moment for the band, and we we care about Janet very much and wish her well, but you know, sometimes you just sort of need to let someone go. And you know, because Carrie and I did start the band 30 years ago, we just felt like we didn't want that to be the end. We weren't ready to let it go. And so, you know, that became part of our story too. It's like, what do we do now? How do we keep going? Who do we collaborate with? And, you know, I think that for musicians, that's often part of the story. And, you know, I think for us with the band we have right now, we have some really strong collaborators, and Angie Boylan played drums for us on this album, and she's great. She's doing the live shows, and we have Toko Yasuda and Tini Lieberson as well, just really strong players that help us kind of round out what we want to do with the new album and with the catalog as well.
But for the two of you, it was, we're still in this. There's still this rich vein, and things change, right? Things change with bands.
Absolutely.
That hiatus that came a little early that we talked about, and Carrie, I mean, you've got a huge following for your music, but Carrie's co-creation of the cult TV show Portlandia, which I think you had a cameo in too. Why did that strike such a chord with people? It's quite a shift for a creative in a way. And it became hugely popular. It's still got a cult following here in New Zealand. Why did that strike such a chord, do you think?
I think that it really pokes fun at ourselves in a way that we just need to laugh at ourselves. I swear I need it more than ever now. And I think that they are just two of the funniest people, Fred and Carrie, that I've ever known. And I'm just so proud of them with like what they were able to do with that show and all the places it went and all the funny people they brought us with it. I just thought it was just a real joy.
You went your own path more kind of in a web development interactive media way. Was there the possibility that that might be it for the band? And what was the spur to come back together again and start performing and producing again?
Yeah, I mean, that show was so huge that I thought, well, there's no way we're doing the band
She's
anymore. You
gone.
know, she's gone. That's it. But then, you know, we're still friends. Like we're still hanging out, and I think we were hanging out with Fred and with my partner Lance, and just kind of talking. And you know, the subject came up, like, oh, would we ever do a reunion show? You know, what would that be like? And you know, kind of snowballed from there. We were like, why would we just do that? Why wouldn't we write another record? You know, because I think the band is. You know, we started the band when we were so young, and we put so much of our story and our lives into it that it's, you know, it's got a really big pull on both of our lives. And I think it's got a power that's bigger than us, than, you know, than the whole band. It includes a lot of other people. And so, you know, we made this album No Cities to Love, and it just, you know, it just was suddenly the band was like bigger than ever, and in a really, really nice way where people kind of just appreciated us, and it was a really nice way to come back.
We talked about life when you're young and hungry and young and angry, as people ought to be, it seems, in every generation. But the standout here has been this, you know, these decades of songwriting together and the lives that have been lived in the meantime. You know, does the politics still drive the creative juices? What is it now at this stage as artists and at this stage as people that really informs the songwriting?
I think that, you know, songwriting is about telling a story and you know, and saying something that's important and that it has an emotional cord to it. And there are songs on this album that deal with politics and in the United States right now that are di really difficult. But it's, you know, it's telling the human side of it. It's telling that human story and how it affects us. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of grief in our story, and that comes out on the album. But You know, the songs are actually more about reaching out and sharing that with people and saying like, let's talk about this. Let's connect because I need it just as much as you do.
And the live performance is still a big part of driving those juices, right? It's a long way to come down under. Thank you for coming. But is that still a really important connection for you as artists?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We love playing live. I mean, I think that's for us is the ultimate litmus test of a song and of a show. Are we reaching people? Are we connecting? Is there that kind of magic that happens? That's kind of where we live, and we're so grateful to bring it to New Zealand and to play it for you all there.
Thank you, Corin. Corin Tucker and Slater Kinney will be performing at the Tuning Fork next Wednesday. This is an older track that we're going to go out on. This is from the 2005 album, The Woods. It's called Modern Girl. What a banger. That was it. Modern Girl from the 2005 album The Woods by Slater Kinney. The new album is called Little Rope, and they'll be performing next Wednesday at the Tuning Fork in Auckland.